Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man. I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. It is an amazing, beautiful, wonderful Monday morning. It is October the 11th, 2021, and we are here in the house on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But we have to exercise our rights or we're not doing anything. We have to stand up for something or we will fall for anything. We need to fight for justice and equality, and we need to read, because the more words you read, the better you understand what you're dealing with. Reading is extremely very, very important. We need to read the line. But out of all of that, we need to get an understanding. And if you don't have God in your life, you won't be able to get an understanding, to read above the line, below the line, and in between the lines. Amen. Welcome to the show. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, but I want to open up the show with a tribute to my first cousin. Her name is Brenda Jones Runnels, and we lost her yesterday at about 4 a.m. in the morning. And I did receive a call while I was at church. I was just about to preach my sermon, preaching out of the book of Job. And we all, and my sermon was called The Test, because that's what Job went through. He went through a test. He was being tested. And when God said, he's my best man, go ahead, you can do anything to him but kill him. And even when Job's wife came to him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, you know, he had to, I'm just putting it in another way, but he said, hey, you know, I can't do that. So he got the remote control and went to the man cave, and he had to hang out by himself so he can figure out what he had to do. But I said all that about to preach my sermon yesterday. I got a text from my cousin, Ramona. And I love you, Mona, and all of our family, all the Jones, Bell, and Ronald family. Love you all so much. Cousin V, calling into the show, please. Need you on the show. I want to do a little tribute to her, and I'm happy that we're here on the show today. And if you want to call into the show, the number is area code 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1 if you want to speak to me or any of the co-hosts on the show or co-producers on the show. You know you can do that. And you know we talk about civil rights and constitutional rights and human rights and your rights and my rights and our rights. And we're going to talk about some deep stuff today. We're going to get real deep today. So I want to make sure that, okay. Okay, well, we're right in the middle of the show and I'll do this. Don't go anywhere. Hold on, Brother Ira, 1 second. Hey, Brother Clarence, welcome to the show. Brother Clarence M. Allen, welcome to the show. How are you this morning, sir?
Good morning, Pat Kenny. Good morning to my co-host, co-producers. Especially good morning to our guests out there and our listeners who's going to be tuning in from all throughout the nation, Pastor. Let's give all the glory to God. My sincere condolences to the entire Jones family, the passing of your family member. May God Almighty strengthen the entire family, man, to get to your family loss. God bless you, Eddie. God bless your cousin's family and everyone else.
Amen. Oh, man, thank you so much, Brother Clarence M. Allen. You know, hey, ooh-wee, my. Brother Clarence, can you text Cousin V and see if you could have her call into the show right now, because we want to do a tribute and I can't do it without her, because Brenda Jones is, that's Cousin V's sister, so we need her. Thank you so much. And without further ado, Professor Reams, welcome to the show, Professor Reams. How are you this morning on this wonderful Monday morning? God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and also please accept my condolences for the loss of it in your family member, and we'll put it in prayer, and also it'll be a wonderful, joyous tribute that you're going to give to her, because as a lady of God, it's well-deserved, and I believe that she's gotten her well done from the Lord himself. And to everyone, good morning, good morning. You are on the Monday morning show, the best blog talk radio show ever, and we are here to discuss, to show our faithfulness to the Lord, but also to fellowship and gain information that will help you for the week. So everyone, good morning, good morning, and good morning, the regulator.
All right.
James.
Okay, we got a call from the 33. Okay, well, hold on. Caller in the 336-402 area code. Are you there?
Yes, Eddie. This is Ira. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Ira. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, man. I'm so glad that we have you, our special guest on the show. I'm going to get you on in just a few minutes. We're going to catch right up with now. Ira Tillman is a writer. He's a very prolific speaker and writer, and very artistic with these books, and these books are completely amazing. And he's going to be our special guest today to talk about a wonderful book that he's written, and I'm going to let him do all the introductions on that. But meanwhile, we're doing a short tribute to my cousin, Brenda Jones Runnels, who passed away yesterday morning at 4 a.m. And I was, as I stated to you, oh, thank you, Brother Ira, man. Thank you so much, man. I was at church about to preach my sermon. The Texan kicked me in the back of the head real hard, because when you're young and you're kids and you play together, you play handball and soccer and I don't know if y'all don't remember, but jacks and everything, or jump rope or whatever we did, you know, as kids. And then we grew up, and then you get into your life and everything, and you become college and all that good stuff, and then you find a job, you get stable and get stability, and then you get married and you create a family and you have children. And boy, what a life, you know what I mean? And what a God-fearing woman she was. She really loved the Lord. I mean, man, just a great, wonderful motivator. And so without further ado, welcome to the show, Vera Jones. Vera Jones, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning, Eddie, Clarence, Professor Rames, and all the listeners. And, yes, Brenda had such a beautiful spirit. The last time that we saw one another was at her dad's funeral, Uncle Charles. And when you just spoke about, you know, childhood, I can remember Uncle Charles would always have food going, and we would be outside playing pool. You know, I wasn't really good at that, but that eight ball, she was.
Yeah, wow, that's so amazing. That is so amazing. God is so good. We're trying to get Cousin V in the studio. Brother Clarence and Mellon, are you having any luck with reaching out to her right now?
I sent her a text, and so I haven't got a response yet, but I'm going to say good morning, Vera.
Good morning, Clarence. The regulator.
Morning, Dr. Yeah. Granny G. Yes.
Yes, Granny G. I'm glad you had the opportunity to meet Zandria, Professor Reeves.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, we look forward to having her come on again and share with us her thoughts as well.
Professor Reeves, she had a wonderful time. She said, Grandma, I have to write my notes. You have to be quiet. Shh.
Oh, my gosh. And also, yes. Too, it was such an honor to have my great niece on the show last Monday with us, and she was our co-host on the show, and she did a wonderful job. She did a really great job. And this is what we need to do. We have to reach down and grab them by the hand, and we have to pull them up and teach them really early so that they can have a foundation. And so I want to thank my sister, Vera, who's not only my sister but also a great mother, grandmother, auntie, and all that other good stuff, for the great things that she's doing with her granddaughter. Sandra's going to be on TV and radio, and this is going to be so amazing. So thank you very much, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you, Eddie.
But without further
ado,
you're welcome. You're welcome, sis. Without further ado, I just want to – let's see, do we have Cousin V in the studio? Good morning, Talana, my daughter Talana Jones, with Words of Wisdom. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dad, and good morning to everyone, to Clarence and to Aunt Vera, and shout out to Zandria, and I also want to say
Butterfly.
Good morning to Professor Rains. I love you, Butterfly. God bless you, Cousin Brenda. I love you much, sending all my love and prayers to our family, and shout out to you too, Cousin V, wherever you are. I hope you're listening, and I love you much.
Amen, amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Our very special guest, that was Brother Clarence. He said, good morning, Talana.
Eddie, you know, one thing that's amazing is that we have so many sets of twins in our family. I lost count. I think it's like 13, 12 or 13, but Everyone, Brenda was a twin, so I know that twinship her sister is feeling at this moment. You know, like you have two and then it becomes one. That's a different change.
It really is. And you know, we do have a lot of sets of twins in our family. And, of course, you know, my daughter, Dasha, just now the twins just turned 3 years old. So they are now three, and they're twins, and they are really twins. They
Happy
run around
birthday
here.
Happy birthday to the twins!
Oh, my gosh. We have 12 sets of twins in our family. But anyway, let's get back on to the show. And we're doing a short tribute to my cousin Brenda Jones Runnels. So if it seems like I'm just kind of taking my time here getting started, don't worry. We got some stuff for you today. Let me just share one of our subject matters and one of our topics with you right now. Hold on. Let's see. Our first topic is, what is really in the vaccine? Is it DNA altering? What is really in the vaccine, and is it DNA altering? That's our first topic. Our second topic is, what is COVID-19 pandemic post-traumatic stress syndrome? What is that? What is COVID-19 pandemic post-traumatic stress syndrome? Now, I created this because I said that people are suffering from COVID-19 pandemic post-traumatic stress syndrome. People are shooting each other. They're killing each other on an all-time high. People are acting crazy. They're short as ever on the freeway and on the streets. And people are just completely disrespectful because they've been locked up in the house for a whole year, and they still don't know how to act. People are still acting out of character. People are still having, because they couldn't hug anybody, because they couldn't see nobody, because they couldn't see their loved one die at the hospital. They couldn't go there. They could only, you know, imagine what they were going through because of COVID-19. It has caused COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome on a lot of human beings, not just in the United States, but around the world. Disease has so far killed 700 million people around the world. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And is it an important topic? It's an extremely important topic, especially if you lost someone that you love or someone that you know or just someone. So without further ado, let's introduce our guest. Before I close out the tribute to my cousin, Brenda Jones Runnels, our guest, everybody, please say hello to our guest that I went to high school with. He was on a gymnastics. We did a lot of sports together. We used to work out and stay in shape together, you know, and we were always, you know, trying to keep up with everything that was going on and do the best of be a part of the right things so that we can get to the right places so we can share the right things with other people that need to see the right too. I hope that all made sense and it sinks into the resonance of your heart and mind. Without further ado, our extremely special guest, a good friend of mine, Ira Tillman. Ira, please say, everybody say hi to Ira Tillman.
Good morning, Ira.
Good morning.
Welcome to
good
the
morning.
Show.
Good
morning.
And welcome.
Especially good morning
to
Vera, who I watched grow
hey,
up. And,
yeah.
We would,
hey there,
we would,
Ira. And he is really into health and wellness, fitness, skating. Go ahead, Ira.
I was just thinking about the times that we grew up together in Baldwin Gardens right there on the west side of Los Angeles near Culver City.
Yes, sir.
And Dorsey High School, of course, and how things have changed to today from then. It seemed like it was a much simpler and more wholesome experience that we went through than what our children and grandchildren are going through. Like you said, the topic of post-traumatic stress as it relates to COVID-19 and the pandemic, I'm starting to, and it, even though it's only been a couple of years now, but I'm starting to feel really bad for this generation who are missing out on the virtues that and the wholesomeness that we apparently grew up with compared to what they're growing up with and the messages that they're getting from social media and the internet and, of course, television and cable and satellite television and the messages we were getting from just, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons,
right.
You know, and
exactly.
Watching the Three Stooges and just basic, the comedy we grew up with and the messages we were getting, and our virtues were coming from home, from inside the home. You know, mother, father, uncles, aunties, extended family, plus the neighborhood families that adopted you. You know, our kids are missing that. I don't, even as recently as my children, who are now in their 30s, I don't remember the neighborhood raising our kids like we got raised. We got raised by the neighborhood. It was a village. It was a village. Every block was a separate village. And grandmothers and aunties and uncles on those blocks gave you advice as you walked through the store, you know. But our the kids today, they don't even talk to their neighbors or get advice or anything wholesome like what we went through. So they're missing out on a completely and it's nostalgic. And most of it's nostalgic. I'm going to admit that. It's a nostalgic way of thinking. But they're not getting any of that input from the neighbors because, you know, the media teaches us not to trust our neighbors. We reprimand our neighbors for even talking to our kids now, you know.
Let me jump in there for a second, man, because you're saying some really important stuff. What you're saying is very, very important, and I hope the listeners out there can hear. Oh, yeah, by the way, for all the listeners out there, if you want to listen online, go to blogtalkradio.com. Write it down. Get your pen. Blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and you can listen to the show on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop, on your Apple Pad, or whatever you have. You can listen to the phone you listen to the show at 646-787-8064. So text somebody, tell a friend, page, if you can't page somebody, I mean, come up on Instagram or any of the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you have. Send it out right now and tell them we're getting ready to get into a really good interview in just a few minutes. But
Eddie,
I was trying to get my
yes,
go ahead, brother.
I think we need to have a prayer especially for Cousin V and her family. Let me read the message I just received from her. She say, "I know but not ready. She just died yesterday. I had been there from that morning around 3, still hard to sleep. My heart is hurting. I thought I could be okay, but not ready. It is hard. Still coming to realization. If you are able, can you do a sports report? ESPN has better score readings."
Okay. Yeah. Well,
God
Brother
bless.
Clarence, today hallelujah. Today, Clarence, you can do our sports report. You know, sometimes you jump in the shoes of Professor Rings, you do a great job. So I'm quite sure you do a good job on the sports report and tell us what's going on. Cousin V is a sports report. She is the son of Brenda Jones Runnels, and that is my first cousin. They're both our first cousins, me and her. And anyway, so I just had a short tribute, and I'll just try to get it out real quick. I don't own the rights to the music. "Thought I heard your voice yesterday. Then I turned around to say that I love you, and I realized that it was just my mind playing tricks on me. It's been easy done and over this time. Have we really made up our minds about each other? All the feelings that we used to share, I refuse to believe that you don't care. I miss you. There's no other way to say it, and I can't deny it. I miss you, yeah. And it's so easy to see I miss you and me. Hallelujah, I'm Eddie Jones here. And that was just a short little, and then I just have a little song, you know. And I'll take with me the memories and save my sunshine for the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know when the world is going to leave. All I know is where we've been and what we've been through. Yeah, I thought we'd get to see tomorrow, but tomorrow's gone away, and it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. All right, y'all, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Love you, Cousin Brenda. To the moon and back. You will always be remembered and never forgotten. We love you and God bless you.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Amen.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, that is so – okay. Okay, for all you listeners out there, thank you so much for bearing with that. It was something that I just wanted to do on the radio. I needed it in my heart, and it just helped me to get through the grieving process, just to be able to have a platform where we can give a tribute to someone that we all love. And I love every human being on earth no matter what. So we all should love each other because that's God's love. And if you love like God, then you love everybody no matter what. And who are we to judge? But I want to thank you, God, for bringing my first cousin, Brenda Reynolds Jones, who was a school teacher, and she did so much at church. She helped so many people and just sent it out. We're going to get right into this book with Brother Ira Tillman, 787-806-1-646-787-8461. And you could call into the show right now, 8064. 646-787-8064, press 1. So, Brother Ira, man, take the floor, give us the name of the book, and tell us all about it.
Okay, Pastor Eddie Jones, we were talking about your sports segment a minute ago, but the topic of my latest book, which a lot of you listeners should know, your listeners should know, is about a football coach that was the head coach of the the Oakland Raiders, and he was the coach of the Cleveland Browns. His name is Hugh Jackson. He's out of Los Angeles, native, born and bred in Los Angeles, and particularly from the west side of Los Angeles. He attended Dorsey High School in the early 80s and rose to heights in the coaching profession that's really been touched by a black head coach for one thing, and for another thing, out of Los Angeles, he's a rarity coming out of Los Angeles to be a head coach in the NFL. Now, how rare that is illustrated in this next statement. He is in 101 years of the NFL being in existence. He is the only head coach that's come out of the inner city of Los Angeles. out of 101 years. So that's how rare that feat is. And he should be recognized and celebrated for that fact. And I wrote his biography. He gave me the opportunity to write his biography this past year. And I didn't understand how special that feat was until I got into the actual research and writing of that book. The title of the book is called The Kid Can Coach. Again, that's The Kid Can Coach. And it's by Ira Tillman. It's on Amazon. You go to Amazon Books, Ira Tillman, and there's a listing of all my books there. That's my 11th book on Amazon thus far. I've already started on my next writing. Actually, I'm coming to Los Angeles this week to start that process. And I don't want to get ahead of Hugh Jackson's story. It's a remarkable story, and I've talked to some studio personnel, TV One, Hillionaire Productions. I've told them that Hugh Jackson's story is a combination of Boys in the Hood, New Jack City, and Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington. If you put those three movies together, that's the actual chemistry of Hugh Jackson's real story. And it's an interesting story. They have thought, I mean, an actual story that can be told in film and as a sports movie. It's an exciting process we're going through.
Amen, amen. Well, this is an amazing. Now hold that thought right there. Ira, this is a very interesting book, and we're looking forward to hearing some more about that book. We want to get our poetry person on the line right now and get them into the show. A big good morning to Linda Goldie. Good morning, Linda Goldie. How are you all the way out there? You're in Oregon, right?
Yeah, I'm in Oregon, and I've got a lot of challenges, that's why I'm late this morning.
Don't worry about it. Just say good morning to our special guest, Ira Tillman. Ira Tillman, say hi to Ms. Linda Goldie.
Hello, Ms. Linda Goldie. That's it's very good to be on the radio show with you. It's Eddie Jones. He always has the most interesting guests when I come on here, whether it's a congressman or a politician or somebody in the mayor's office. It's always a nice and spectacular time. When I come on, it seems like either I'm a good luck charm for him or I just happen to catch him on some very good days. But very nice to meet you, and I'm happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to say that the part that I've heard so far, it's amazing how many books you've written back to back.
Exactly. And you have to be dedicated and you got to be focused because, you know, writing is, you know, it takes time and you have to put everything into perspective of what you have to do to write. But anyway, may the rest of our co-producers and producers please say good morning to Linda Goldie, our poetry person.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Linda Goldie.
Love you guys. Thank you for being patient with me.
We love you back, Linda,
you
and you're
too.
Not late.
You
you're regular.
Love you, Linda.
Love you, Linda. What our hug.
You know, the world is in need of love. Is in need of love today by Stevie Wonder. I'm gonna shout that song out. But anyway, back to Ira Tillman. Please retake the floor. Give us what made you write this book, man. What? How did you, you know, share?
Well, it started over a year ago. August of 2020, I had just published my first romantic comedy, and I didn't know if I could write a romantic. I challenged myself to actually do that. I walked into a bookstore in Chicago. It was a Borders, and I walked into the bookstore, and by far the largest section in the store, I want to say three-fourths of the store was dedicated to romantic comedy. And I said, I said, that is awesome. I said, that genre could take up so much of the American psyche. And but it makes sense. You need comic relief in your life and romanticism at different levels. So I challenged myself to write a romantic comedy, and the title of it is called Gideon's Hug. Gideon as in the Bible character Gideon, but it has nothing to do with religious text or anything. It's just the name that's dropped in my head. I was looking for a name, and Gideon just jumped in my brain for some reason, and I just went with it. And Hug, H-U-G, is the actual pursuit of Gideon's quest in this book. He needed a hug, and he wanted a hug from his wife. That was the challenge, and how he was able to go about it, because their issue was being able to hug while lying in bed. That was a problem for him, and how he was able to solve that problem is the adventure in the book. And it's comical, of course. It's a romantic comedy, and how he was able to solve that problem is the processes of it, the story, how it laid out is the adventure in it, and where the comedy comes from, and some enlightenment on a couple of industries. But it's called Gideon's Hug. Now I finished that. And it was so lighthearted. I haven't done a lighthearted theme book because I'm a true crime writer. That's my original genre, writing about true crime. And my next book is going to be a true crime, which I'll explain to you in a minute. You're going to love that. But it was so lighthearted, and it took me away from my original way of thinking when I wrote, that I wanted to kind of get back to reality-based storytelling. And I saw that my friend Hugh Jackson, who went to Dorsey High School along with Pastor Eddie Jones, me, myself, and several other famous personalities. I saw on the internet that he was having some problems with his career. He had just got fired from his last head coaching job at the Cleveland Browns. And I said to myself, I wonder if anybody's done his life story. So I texted him on Facebook. I hit him on Facebook several times. He would not respond. I just kept bombarding him with my phone number. Even though we know each other, we hadn't had each other's number.
Right.
And he finally called me. He finally called me, and I just asked him straight up. I said, after the opening pleasantries, I said, you know, we're talking about a gazillionaire. We're talking about a gazillionaire. We're talking about somebody that just made $15 million for 3 years of coaching with the Cleveland Browns. It's hard to get in touch with somebody that's just had $15 million drop in their lap, right? So
exactly. I know what you mean, bro.
He called me, and without wasting any time, I said, "You Jackson, has anybody bring you a biography?" And he said, "No." I said, "Can I write it for you?" And he immediately, without hesitation, said, "Yes." And what I don't know if he had know I was already writing or what have you, but I immediately sent him out a couple of books. After we exchanged addresses, I sent him out a couple of books so he can have an example of what my genre was doing and what my books were about and how they were constructed. And he said immediately, "Yeah, we can do this." And I want to say about 3 months later, I was in less than that. About 2 months later, I was in Cincinnati getting his story. I stayed with him 2 days, got his complete package of materials that he had ready and prepared for me. All his internet writings, all his everything, all the articles written about him, everything that he can get a hold of. He had it on thumb drive. He had it on printed material. I had a one-inch thick folder of pictures and articles. And we did about 6 hours of audio between me, him, and his CEO of his nonprofit company, who sat in on all of the meetings. And I took in 2 days' worth of testimony from him about his life, and I let him know that this wasn't going to be enough, that I'm going to have to pepper you with 1,000 questions before this thing is over, before this book is written. And that's exactly what happened. I took what I got from him. I left Cincinnati, went back home to Carolina. I live in Concord, North Carolina, right up the way from Charlotte. And I hunkered down for 8 months. It was an eight-month ride. It took 2 days to get the story, but it took me 8 months to write it and edit it and produce it. I'd let you know about the process.
Wow.
We're talking every day, at least 6 to 8 hours a day, sometimes 10 to 12, without any type of break. No vacations, no holidays, nothing. This was a straight write because I wanted to get this thing out there, because he also informed me that he was writing his own book. And I think it had more to do with the coaching lifestyle. My book is about a football coach, but it's also about the city of Los Angeles that produced this only of. Remember I told you he's the only head football coach to come out of the city of Los Angeles in 101 years of the NFL. And they just don't do that.
Man.
They don't give those jobs out to anybody. And I figured out one thing about the NFL. It's had a racist mandate to begin with. And amongst the original nine and then 20 families, those things, each team was owned by a family. Those families came from a certain place and had a certain mentality when it came to industrialized processes. So, in other words, blacks and browns,
excuse me for interrupting you. But when you said that it had a racial tone about itself, we can remember the owner of the Rams, right?
Right.
Remember they got rid of her. They took the team away from her because of her racist ways. But I just wanted to throw that in. That was just an example of
some
of the racism.
Now, you're talking about Marge Schott, who owned the Cincinnati Reds. That's who you're talking
about.
Who's
that?
Remember her?
Who's the lady that
had
remember the Rams? The Rams had a racist coach owner too. What was the owner's name of the Rams?
Georgia Frontiere.
Right. Yeah. It was just an example of some of the racism that a lot of players went through, just getting into the NFL and then being a part of it.
Yeah.
So go right ahead with the story.
Marge Schott used to expound her racism in her interviews without understanding what she was doing. She did it kind of just offhanded and off the cuff, and it was a matter of her speaking like they speak in certain circles, but she was speaking to the public through radio and television, and she didn't understand the difference. That's why they got her away from that microphone. They got her away from that team, too.
Yes,
if you remember, that's the woman that said Hitler had a lot of good ideas, but he went about them the wrong way. Remember, that was her, her quote.
That was a terrible quote.
Right. So they immediately said, in the process of getting that team and that platform away from her, so she couldn't, because he was losing it. He was getting older, and she was losing it. And she started expounding the virtues of Hitler. It was time for her to get away from Major League Baseball.
That moves.
Yeah. Right.
Her was coming out.
Right. And it's kind of like, and real quick. When people get older, and we've all had people like this in our family, little things that would embarrass them when they were younger aren't embarrassing anymore when they get older. And I'm just talking about when your old grandfather starts farting around the house. Okay, just starting letting go. It just starts letting go. You know, verbally that happens too with your thinking. With your thinking can start. Your thinking can start letting go too, and things that you had held inside because it was politically correct or you had to really think about keeping it under wraps. You just start letting some of that go. And if it's racism or if it's sexism or if it's any type of nefarious thoughts, you'll just start, as you get older, you'll just not caring about the process it takes to keep all that in. And that's what was happening with her. With you, Jackson, and the NFL has kind of when I laid all the evidence out, it had to be a racist mandate. We'll let them play for us, but we will not let them manage with us. And it's still like that today. Anytime you see seven coaching jobs come open at the end of the year, and every year it's an average of 6 to 8 firings. But you'll get one, sometimes no black or brown candidates for those jobs. And this is one way how they cover it. And keep an eye on this from now on when you look at this. Somebody will be fired. Let's say a white coach would be fired in the middle of the year. They'll hire a black assistant coach as the interim coach. That's their way of covering their ass because they know they're going to hire a white coach at the end of this process, right? So the interim coach, which means the remaining games left in the season, let's say it's 4 games left in the season, they'll hire the running back coach or defensive back coach or defensive coach, always a black guy, okay? That's because they know at the end, when it comes time to making that search, they're going to hire a white guy. And you can't point the finger at them because why? Because they just had a black interim coach. That's them absorbing that's how they skirt around the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule, if your listeners don't know, is a rule that they adopted amongst all the teams that if after a firing, they would always consider at least one minority candidate for the job. They'll bring him in, they'll interview him, they'll give him an opportunity to be heard, but then that's their fulfillment. That's all they have to do is give somebody an interview before they go on and do what they want to do anyway, which is to hire somebody else to be a face of the well, how you get around that? You fire somebody, you hire a black interim coach for the next 3 or 4 or 5 games, however many games are left in the season. Then you go out there and you skirt the Rooney Rule and just bring in somebody that you already had in mind without any second thought. Well, you skirted the Rooney Rule by hiring the black interim coach. And if you look at Romeo Crennel, how many times have Romeo Crennel has been an interim coach after the head coach has been fired? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Can you hear me okay? Hello? Ari, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted to jump in for a second. And also, Brother Clarence M. Allen said, John Gruden, who owns the Raiders, you know, he seemed like he's a little racist himself. But also, too, what we're getting to here, and it's very important that the listeners hear this, you know how like some white companies say, okay, we're going to hire one black person because we have to, you know, we have to do a quota. We got to have at least one African American that we can say that we gave a job to, even though we don't really want to give it to them. So we're going to give one. We don't want to give them a job, but we're going to give them a job. Just let them be here for a little while. And that way, when we write the IRS or whoever we got to report to, the state or whoever, we'll let them know that we are an equal opportunity.
Great point.
Place. So go
That's
right ahead.
That's a great point.
I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point. I'm glad you went there. That brings me to that's something that I have intimate knowledge with. My niece, who was being courted by SpaceX. You know, SpaceX is owned by the billionaire Tesla guy.
Elon Musk,
right. Elon Musk extended a job to my niece to become their real estate coordinating liaison. In other words, her job would have been to go out and acquire the land that SpaceX needed for manufacturing and for launch capabilities. She was the only person considered for this, and she was black. And she lives in Los Angeles. She's the only person considered for this job because she was black. And the lady in the interview basically told my niece, this is my brother's daughter, that we need your minority participation because certain government funding depended on their ability to put blacks in certain positions. And they needed that government matching funds or funding or cooperation, or maybe they needed property on federally owned property. But whatever it was, the lady slipped in the interview and told my niece that her minority status is exactly what they needed for their company to go forward with acquiring certain lands and certain contracts that involve the federal government. And my niece turned
it
down.
Man, that sounds like a lawsuit. That sounds like a lawsuit.
It sounds like a lawsuit, but she turned the job down. And it was a lot of money, and she said the reason she turned it down wasn't because of the racial aspect of it, is because Elon Musk created this position with just a stroke of a pen. And she said with another stroke of a pen, he can erase this position. And she didn't like the tentative, the tenuative aspect of it. She didn't like
wow.
the
there it is right
this
there.
Up. She said wow. She didn't want to be an ink pen signature away of not having the position at all. You know,
man, that's deep. That's deep.
But so getting back to you, Jackson, and his story, and I gotten away from his story. I'm getting back to the quick of it. You, Jackson, after being born and bred in Los Angeles, was always on the fast track to being one of the top coaches in college and pro football. And put it like this, let's say he got $15 million for 3 years or 4 years of coaching with the Cleveland Browns. He went from that and being coach of the year in 2016. In 2016, he was voted by his peers as the offensive mind, offensive coordinator of the year, to not being able to get a job at all in the NFL with no team. So that tells you one thing. I mentioned the word blackball to him. He shunned it, and he didn't want to think like that. But when I laid the evidence out in front of me about the racist mandates with the NFL and the teams involved, and the fact that you remember Kaepernick, you were high on the Kaepernick, you were right in there. I got to commend you for being one of the first people in on that and one of the loudest voices when Colin Kaepernick was going through that whole process. You, Jackson,
yes,
was
sir.
Involved in that story, and I laid it out in the book how much he was involved in that Kaepernick story. You got a copy of the book already. I sent it to you, right?
Yeah.
And
I've been reading it.
Yeah. So you know exactly the process he went through. He's battled some forest fires in his career. It's a great read. You guys are going to love it. The title of the book is The Kid Can Coach. Eddie, if you you have the cover of the book, if you can put it on your site as well and get some of the word out there. I've gotten some criticism, good criticism, that this book reads like a manual for coaches in any profession to read and learn how to process their way through situations that are uncomfortable to talk about and might make the road easier for them as they go through the coaching ranks. But this is not a book that I wrote for sports heads. I was conscious of that. Vera, you're going to love this book. I guarantee you. First of all, it talks about one of your Dorsey homeboys. He graduated from Dorsey in 1983. And but it tells his family story, some really exciting and some horrific events that have happened throughout his family structure, his climb through high school and college, and then the professional aspect of what his career was. You guys are gonna love it. It's not a book I wrote for jarheads and jocks. I wrote it intentionally. I said if I can get women interested in Hugh Jackson's story, that's how this book is going to move. And I purposely designed that story. I told that story around female readers, and I wanted them to be the ones to walk past that counter or that bookshelf and pick that book up. And I think I accomplished this because the females that have gotten back in touch with me after they've read the book were so excited about it and so complimentary about it.
Amen.
That they enjoyed the ride that I took them through in telling this guy's story. And I believe you guys are going to appreciate it too. That's Hugh Jackson. It's called The Kid Can Coach. You guys are going to appreciate
Ira, can you hear me? Hey, Ira, excuse me one second. I don't mean to interrupt you so abruptly, but I really believe we have another Dorsey alumni person on the line, too, and I'm going to see if I can get her on real quick. Now, let's see.
Okay.
I believe this is this Sister Sheila Timberlake? Sheila Timberlake, are you there? Okay, caller in 323-594. Hello?
Hello?
Caller in 323-594. Yes, hello. Is this Sheila Timberlake?
Hi, good morning. This is Sheila. You're going to get my welcome morning voice.
Oh, that's okay. We Ira Tillman, and he graduated from Dorsey with us.
Good morning, Sheila.
From Dorsey.
Good morning.
And Sheila graduated from Dorsey.
I remember that name, and I know I do.
I just got on the line, so I kind of missed the beginning of the show. But I was listening to what he was saying about his book. I kind of probably know the guy he was talking about that went to Dorsey. And
I'm sure you know him.
The little bit I heard.
Well, that's okay. I'm sure you know him. But Ira, say hi to Sheila Timberlake. Sheila Timberlake, say hi to Ira Tillman, writer.
Hello,
Sheila.
And I know the name very well, Timberlake. I remember that. What year did you graduate from Dorsey?
75. We conversate sometime on Facebook. And
right. That's what it is.
A lot of times when we go to the picnic.
You're right. And
speaking
I appreciate
of picnic,
your
Dorsey,
interaction with me.
Thank
and
you.
Speaking of picnic, I really believe that Dorsey's going to have their picnic next year. Next year, they're going to have a picnic where we can all, actually go there.
Amen.
Looking forward to that. Amen. And without further ado, now, if you want to get Ira's book, he's going to tell you how to do it right now. In just a few minutes, we're going to, and I don't want you to go, Ira, because we want to get your opinion, too. We're getting ready to get started on our topic. We have two topics. One is, what is COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome? That's one of our topics. What is COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome? And I've been seeing people going through it. I just look at people, and you can see they're going through something crazy, because being locked up in the house for a year will make you crazy. And not being able to go someplace and you can't get into a place without a COVID-19 card, that'll make you crazy too. Because now you got to go be underground, or you got to go get you a card made or something. You know, a lot of people say, I want to make me a card. But you better make sure the spelling is right or you're going to jail.
Right.
The lady that got caught at the airport, she spelled Moderna wrong, and they arrested her right there on the spot. But anyway, let's go back and find out how you can get Ira's book. And to all the Dorsey Dons that are listening on the phone, I want to send a shout-out right now to Vicki Jameson that passed away last week. She was a cheerleader at Dorsey High School. She was a wonderful woman of God, and she was a part of the amazing Dream Team. Right, Sheila?
Correct.
Sheila?
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so we just want to shout out Vicki Jameson, you know, and also, too, we're shouting out my cousin that passed away yesterday at 4 in the morning, Brenda Jones Runnels. We gave a little tribute to her this morning, and same thing for Vicki Jameson. But without further ado, if you want to get Ira's book, and it's a good read. I've been reading it, and I pick it up, and then I put it down, and I pick it up, and sometimes I fall asleep with it, you know, just, you know, in my hand, and wake up and go, oh, yeah, man, let me get back to this. Because it's a very interesting read. It's very it's a good story, and it'll make you go, wow, and it'll really get your attention. So, Ira, how do they get that book?
Well, you go to Amazon Books, Ira Tillman. Amazon Books, Ira Tillman, and you're going to get 11 books that pop up. My latest book is called The Kid Can Coach. It's a biographical story of Hugh Jackson, the NFL football coach, and it details his life from its absolute beginnings until his the story goes up to July or June of 2021, and that's when it was announced that Hugh Jackson was hired by Eddie George of Tennessee State University to be their offensive coordinator. And so you can imagine getting paid, going from getting paid $4.7 million at the Cleveland Browns to your next job being at Tennessee State University, which is a historically black college and university. And I wouldn't even want to guesstimate what the cut in pay would have been for him to accept that job. But that's from being virtually blackballed from the NFL. And the reason for that is spelled out in the book, why he couldn't get another job at this moment in the NFL. He may be back next year or in the coming years, but he had a run-in with an owner of the last team he was the head coach for. And if you know anything about those owners, there's only 31 of them. 32 teams, but it's only 31 owners. And the deal is that's such a tight-knit group. They're not friendly. They're not really friendly, friends of each other, but there's certain things you can't do to one that the other ones won't take an affront to. And that's what happened between Hugh Jackson. And you got to read the story to find out what he actually did to put himself on the negative end of that communication between owners of those teams and his coaching prowess. Now, he generally was considered one of the best coaches in the league, and now he can't get a job in the league. So it's something that may subside, and he may get back into the good graces of that culture, but that's where that, and to figure out what happened, you have to read the story. I'm not going to spell it out, but it's a read that I wrote for the non-sports heads. It's not sports technical jargon. I say in the beginning of the book, you're not going to learn how to manipulate zone defenses and wide receiver quarterback communication by reading this book. It's not the kind of sports book it is.
It's not about, it's not the kind of coaching story. It's really a, it's really a story of Los Angeles. It's really a story of how that city produced, helped produce the personality, which is Hugh Jackson, and how he was able to get that job, heading $2 billion companies twice. It's an unusual story and one that probably will never happen again out of Los Angeles, because L.A. just they don't look to Los Angeles for those type of positions. It's a crazy deal, and it's racist in nature, and it's geographically prejudicial. They just don't look to Los Angeles. They look to Texas, Michigan, Ohio, Florida, or even further
Wyoming.
Back east in the
Wyoming.
Ohio, you know, Pennsylvania. It's a kind of a good old boy system without ever
right.
speaking on it. You know,
right.
it's an association. It's who knows who, and for Hugh Jackson to be able to break through that is the story. How he was able to break through that as a black inner city football coach. And that's the crux of it. And I wrote it like a true crime. I said, I told you, Jack, I'm going to write this as if it was a true crime, even though it wasn't no true crime involved. But there's a lot of cliffhangers in the story. And it's a page turner because people have told me that this is what it makes them do. It makes them want to see what happened on the next page, because I write it as though it's a lot of wheels moving and there's anticipation to what happens next to this young man. Now, if I can get to my current project, which I'm coming to Los Angeles for, and you're gonna have to take me to lunch, Eddie. I'm coming to Los Angeles
sure
for this week. This Thursday I'm flying in. Speaking of Memorial, we have a team. We have a classmate that passed this past week, Earl Banks. He's class of 79 Dorothy
Banks.
High School. Earl Banks.
Yes, I remember Earl. Yeah.
I remember Earl. I didn't know he passed away, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just passed this past week, and it's been on Facebook. And Instagram, but the thing is, he was one of our brethren. He was a teammate of mine. We played high school football 2 years together at Dorsey, and the commentary is he's just one of the coolest guys you ever wanted to know, which is true. He was Fonzie cool before it was popular. You know, he was just a good guy to know, and just fair.
Yes.
Very fair. You know,
I remember
fair guy.
Brother Earl Banks.
And you know, at the west side of Los Angeles during those times, you had your knuckleheads and you had your other guy that was avoiding knuckleheads, and then you had your people in the middle, and Earl was one of those guys in the middle. Nobody's punk by any stretch of the imagination, but it was always fair and looking out. And I remember his dad, Mr. Banks, always being around the school. Remember Mr. Banks? He used to come to all the basketball games, all the football games, and that was his dad.
Yeah.
And just one of the most positive memories that I have going through that Dorsey High School 3 years I was there. So just a shout out to his family, the Banks family. And Earl was one of the most special cats that I knew on my team, and somebody that always garnered respect and was always thought of as an athletic specimen on our team, and contributed highly to the season that we had, the championship year we had at Dorsey in 78. So I just wanted to say that about him and his family while we were talking on memorializing some people from our school. But
I appreciate that, brother. I just wanted to.
But I'm coming in.
Real quick.
Hold
on 1 second. Yeah.
Second.
You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. For all you new listeners that just joined in, thank you guys for joining in with us. I see you guys out there.
Right now we're listening to Ira Tillman. We're going to be closing out in the second, getting on a really important topic. And what is COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome? What is it? What does it do to the human body? But anyway, and also, too, if you want to listen to the show on your phone, you dial 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064, or you could go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions, Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions. So, Brother Ira, can you hang out with us just a few more minutes, man, so we can get a couple of comments from you on our topic?
Yes, yes, no problem. I'm here for you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Can we give a big hand for Brother Ira Tillman in the
yes,
essence of time?
Can we
give a big hand?
Ira. Yay!
Man. Whoa, man.
Bows I've been taking. I've been taking bows the whole time.
Well, man, look, man, that's an amazing book, man. It's an amazing book. Now we got some things going on, y'all. I mean, these are civil rights violations. You know, like, how can somebody make you take a shot and tell you if you don't take a shot, you're gonna lose your job, and you've been at your job 30 years, you're just about to retire. And all of a sudden somebody tell you, if you don't take this shot, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, or Pfizer, you are fired from your job without your benefits, without your pension. What in the world do you do? I mean, guess what? They got you by the throat. You're probably going to take the shot. But United Airlines just fired 500 people, and American Airlines fired about 600 people. And they're hiring and doing interviews right now as we speak. So I want to get here. Our first topic. Okay. Our first topic is, what is really in the vaccine? Is it DNA? What is really in the vaccine? And is it DNA altering? That means that if I shoot this inside of you, Now, take in mind, this vaccine for COVID-19 was the fastest made ever in the history of the world, a vaccine made for a disease that was completely out of control. They killed over 700 million people around the world. But they created this vaccine in less than a year, and they're using it on an emergency basis, which means that the CDC and the FDA does not have to take responsibility for giving you a shot. You can't sue them. Well, I think Moderna, one of them just, Pfizer just, I don't know, they've been okay through the FDA or the CDC, one of them. But my real point here is the vaccine DNA altering, which means does it have microbots or nanobots, you can't even see them with the human eye, but has the capability of copying the DNA that is yours and then taking it over and then creating you to have a different type of altering DNA. I know it sounds like a space movie, like scientific, like sci-fi, but it's a reality. So I'm going to start off with our professor, Professor Reams, who is a real professor who teaches at a university, who knows the ins and outs of different things that are transpiring in our society these days, and it's always good to have a real professor on the show. And then we want to go back to Ira, and we're going to find out how he feels about it, and then we're going to go around our panel as we always do. And this is a very important topic, and it's a reality, and it is a civil rights violation to inject somebody with something and they don't know what it is. They tell you it's one thing, and then 3 years later, you got a recall on all the vaccines, just like they did those soldiers when they injected them with syphilis. The Tuskegee experiment was a real experiment. And they had a black nurse that was the head of it because they told her if she said anything, she was going to not only lose her job, but probably lose her family.
Oh, my God.
So why is it important? I want to ask you guys this, too. Why is it important that you take the shot and you get free Dodger tickets? Why is it important for you to take a shot and you get free marijuana? You get a, a gram of marijuana for free. Why is it important for you to take a shot and you get you can win $500 to $5,000 cash for taking a shot? So just let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind while we're talking about the subject matter. Is the COVID-19 shots DNA altering? Professor Reams, please take the floor. Please share with us what's your take on this.
Well, this is an interesting topic because the fact that it depends on what information is out there. If you read the ingredients and you look at where it has part of Lucifer in there along with some of the other materials that are within it, then it tends to make one suspicious. But when you read over what the virus, the new types of viruses, vaccines that are coming out, then we're getting the story from the CDC that it's message RNA, which means that you're not taking a piece of the virus at all. You're just taking a small bit of a protein. And that protein then is injected so that it actually instructs your cells to start making more antibodies. And this is a standard that you'll see on the website. And so then what happens after that is that it's the antibodies are created, but whatever started gets flushed down, just like what happens in your natural immune system is brought up when it's dealing with the virus overall. So it's this is all new. But the suspicion behind this is still how quickly it was done and under which institution it was done and whether there are nanobites and all these things that are there. Is it possible that they could put it in there? Certainly anything is possible. Are they going to admit to it? Probably not, because the fact that then it is going to be very dangerous. But the thing that I am, and also Dr. Granny Lee has been saying, is that you have to know your body and that there are holistic ways of handling this as well if you're not going to get the vaccine, of just strengthening your immune system overall. And I will quote you, Dr. Granny, at DGP all the time. And that in that sense, this is why everyone, once again, needs to do their research, also put this in prayer before making that final decision. So, yes, the ingredients there seem to be okay, but you don't know that you don't know, because you can only go by the information that you have on the CDC. Then you get other studies that will say something different, and then you have to really weed through the weeds on what's going on. But what is suspicious about is the actions taken by encouraging people to buy tickets or by paying them or whatever it is that's going on in light of everything else. And Clarence Allen did mention that there isn't a lot in the media about alternatives to the vaccine in itself, even though we had a situation where Cousin V mentioned that, yes, part of what happens when you go and you do get the shot, or if you're not going to get it, is that the doctors do provide the vitamins that you would need to be taking overall, like your Bs and your echinacea and your elderberry and all these things to strengthen your immune system anyway in order to support the virus, support the vaccine. So to get back to your original question, you're going to hear one thing on the CDC. You're going to hear something from another study. It's still a question of trust and your research, and so that's about as far as we know, as far as what the messenger RNA vaccine and how it's working is different from how it was used before, where you get a little piece of the virus, but one that's not going to be dangerous to you, which is how old vaccines were administered to the body. So I yield back to you.
Wow.
Pastor Jones. Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you so very much. Can we give a hand to Professor Reams for breaking down for us?
Amen, Professor Reams.
Good job.
Thank you.
Man, you broke that all the way down. I tell you what, that was made very, that was with simplicity. That was with layman terms so that you can comprehend and then put that in perspective of what's going on. And I want you guys to know there are people out there, they don't report to you how many people have heart attacks from this from the vaccine. They don't report to you how many people have died from taking the vaccine. They don't report to you how many people have had allergic reactions and have to be hospitalized They don't report to you how many people receive blood clots from these vaccines. Now, I'm not saying don't take the vaccine. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, as Professor Reem said, be educated about what you're putting inside of your body or what you're allowing to be put inside of your body, because once it's in there, it's going to do what it do. And right now it's doing a whole lot. So without further ado, I just want to go to Brother Clarence M. Allen really quick. Brother Clarence M. Allen, what is your take on this, man? Is the vaccine DNA altering? Go ahead, brother.
You know, Pastor Eddie, every week you come with a hot-button topic. Professor Reams has elaborated on this immaculately. He covered all the bases. We have to look at where medicine and science is going. It has went from an analog era into a digital era, into a microscopic part of our world that we cannot see, even with some of the microscopes that are in existence. You need now a new digital microscope to get down into those nanoparticles to even visualize and to imagine. And so when we look at this new digital technology, and then they add this radio frequency to it, can it be controlled by a signal? Can they release a signal where something can – we're just at the tipping point at the beginning of these technologies here that is coming, these digital and these radio frequencies. When they released this, launched this 5G just a year ago, and now we have these new digital diseases that's out. And so it takes a digital vaccine, if you go by their way of science, to treat it, not necessarily cure, treat it to make it ineffective to the body. But where I want to go is in this technology where we have the artificial intelligence, these supercomputers, robots. Are we coming to an era in our life where when we take certain medications and even these vaccines, where in the future they will release a control signal that can affect the person, how they act, react, and maybe even fall dead? So, you know, when we look at what's inside of these things, you're looking at the Pfizer, the Moderna, the Janssen, the Johnson & Johnson, each one of them has different digital RNA materials in them. And so, you know, Pastor, this is just a hot-button topic that we all need to, you know, study the best we can. And even with some of the wording, we're not all of us scientists, may not even understand what we're reading, but we need to get into the nuts and the bolts of this technology and know what's out here so we can better prepare ourselves and defend against it.
Wow, thank you so much. Let's give Brother Clarence a big hand for that information he just gave out.
Clarence.
And that's what I call regulator. Clarence the Regulator. Brother Regulator, Clarence has a book out called The Regulator. It's called Regulate. And then he has another book out called The Haunted Soul Brother. He is our writer and our author on our show. He is a co-producer of our show. And wait, let me see. Is anybody calling in? Oh, yeah, let's see. Hold on. Okay. And so now listen, people, this is really important. You know, this vaccine is really, really some serious stuff right now, and it's really serious. So let's pay attention to what we're thinking about putting in our body. Some people do it because they, you know, but when you have your job telling you, look, if you don't take the shot, you're going to lose your job. If you don't take the shot, you know, you're going to lose your pension plan. I mean, that's like, man, that's a hard one right there. They're playing hardball with you. And not only that, you have to have a COVID-19 card if you want to go to a game, get on an airplane, do whatever you want to do. You have to have a COVID-19 card. Now they're making the COVID-19 chip, which comes in a little bracelet like an iPhone watch or something, but it's smaller and it has a chip in it that'll be able to tell them if you had the shot or not. So no, you can no longer. You want the, pretty soon the cards are going to fade out, and then these chips are going to come into play. But anyway, let's go to Ira Tillman. Brother Ira Tillman, is COVID-19 vaccines DNA altering?
Well, I don't believe it's more DNA altering than anything else we put into our systems. I really don't. If you look at human history, our DNA is being constantly bombarded with environmental issues and just survival instinct issues. I'm talking about from Cro-Magnon man to Neanderthals to Homo sapiens, what we are now. I believe that the human genome, the human DNA structure is going to be changed regardless if it's tempered by man or environmental issues. I believe our human structure, starting back when Cro-Magnon, is on a constant evolvement and changing processes. I believe that it takes thousands and thousands of years to change from one species or segment of a species to another one. I believe humans aren't at the end of their evolution, isn't it? It's a process. Mm. And what we're in right now is going to change. If we jumped into a time machine 1,000 years from now, we may be, you know, come back and, you know, you may see humans walking on all fours. It may go from a bipedal to all four situation. We don't know what it's going to evolve into, but this is not how it started. There's evidence of that. I'm talking about the structure that we're in now, and I believe that is another level to where we're headed as a human species. I don't know if technology is going to interfere with that. I don't think it can. I think that whatever's in our final destination is already within us, and it's working its way there. And whether it's dietary, whether it's technology that's going to get it there, it's all part of the process. It's just 1,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, 1,000,000 years ago that those factors weren't around, the chemical factors, the evolution of technology. None of that was around to propel it. Well, now we have the ability, technology-wise, to propel certain things. And if you're going to get 100 years in the future, 1,000 years in the future, we're going to have even more of that ability. And I think once they set the ball rolling, it's not going to be no turning back. We're going to look different. 1,000 years from now, we're not going to be the same what we see right now. I believe that because I believe that we're going to keep tinkering and we're going to keep adding and taking away and certain things. You can already see it. Look, if we had the ability to give people eye color before they were ever conceived or born, we would do that because that's our nature, to tinker with something and propel it forward. Well, they probably will come up with a way within the next 100 to 200 years to say, hey, they're going to bring a couple in. What color do you want your baby's eyes? We want them gray. What color you want her hair? We want it this color. What texture you want the hair? Do we want it that color? They probably will develop prenatal evolution and technology to where they can do that in the next 200, 300, 400 years. That's going to change the way we from what we looked at today. So that's evolution. And whether it's a natural evolution or if it's a man-made technical evolution, it's still evolution, and we're not going to be going back. We can't make a Neanderthal today. We can't go, we can't make a Cro-Magnon man today. But we will
probably in the future be able to explore that, but not, we can't manipulate it like that today. But we can see a time in 500 years where we'll be able to do that, you know, because everything is possible. Yes.
Yeah. Now, don't mean to interrupt you. Let's give Brother Ira a hand for what he just shared with us, because that was pretty
Amen,
cool.
Amen, Ira.
Yeah, Brother Ira. Excellent.
Brother Ira, thank you so much. We are preparing to count down to our regular segment of the show. We're going to have Health and Wellness with Vera Jones. We're going to have Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. We're going to have Regulate the Manual with Clarence M. Allen. We're going to have the commentary with Professor Reams. We're going to have also Financial Literacy with Melanie Aubrey. And also we're going to have Mental Health and You, none other than Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. So don't go anywhere. We're counting down on the show. Clarence M. Allen, my brother, did you want to jump in? Did you have another something you want to share with us?
Yes, I just wanted to give a little rebuttal, and I want to make this really quick. Last week we talked about a family where the property was taken in Manhattan Beach, and the governor signed an executive order to restore and give them their property back. Now,
yes, the Bruce family.
Yes, the Bruce family. Now, there has been tampering with our foods through certain science. They have made certain even fruit where you see now you can buy a fruit like an orange with no seeds. So they're tampering with the DNA and the RNA of certain foods. Now, I don't know if anyone ever heard of Henrietta Lacks. Henrietta Lacks was a black woman that doctors took her cells. And this was about 50, 60, maybe 70 years ago. And they took her cells and they reproduced her cells. And they use them for science today to create medicines, to fight diseases and all that. And so the reason I wanted to bring all this up, right now her family is suing many of these scientists and the medical industry for taking her cells without her permission, which is a monster. It takes a monster to do something like this. And so we, you know, when you look at eugenics, population control, we are the tip of the spear for this. They want to eliminate us. And so when we go back to this COVID-19, the ingredients, these scientists are manipulating with our DNA. They are. We cannot be blind and cannot ignore this. We must re-educate ourselves and be the sharpest knife in the kitchen when they're coming at us so we can defend against these diseases. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
No problem. I just want you guys to know out there that there's major lawsuits going on right now. People are suing. Hallelujah. People are going all the way to the Supreme Court right now because the fire department, the county, the city and county fire department are suing because they don't want to take the vaccine. They don't want to be forced to take the vaccine and or lose their jobs. So they're taking their case to the Supreme Court. But first they'll probably have to go through the Ninth Circuit Court, but eventually we'll make it to the Supreme Court. There's nurses and doctors being fired from their jobs because they don't want to take the vaccine. They are getting together with the unions, and they're going to sue them. So people are – there's a lot of lawsuits going on right now about the vaccines. And the vaccine companies that made the vaccine are protecting themselves by saying it's for emergency use for all the murders – for all the – yeah, I call it murder. Yeah. I feel like whenever you hear somebody like Bill Gates say, we want to depopulate the world, we want to depopulate the world. That's what his great-grandfather said. That's what his grandfather said, and that's what he's doing. Because he owns a pharmaceutical company. So, and he has a patent on the vaccine. So I'll just say the Rockefellers, the Goodyears, the DuPonts, the Gettys, the Elon Musk of the world, and the guy that owns Amazon, Basil of the world, they are talking with Bill Gates. They do meet in secret places and have secret clandestine meetings and talk about how they're going to regulate the situation and manipulate the situation. Okay? So, but I'm not, but I also, I like what Iris said, because it's very important that we have a different view of what's going on, because we are ever evolving. Because I don't look like my great-grandfather did back in the 50s. My look is different. Now, these kids now that are coming out now, they don't look like the kids that did coming up in the 70s and 80s. You know, we are ever evolving. But with a little help, we'll be super evolving. And I believe before it's over, you're going to see your first superhero, because they're in there making something. That's what the Hangar 51 and all that stuff, they got that stuff there for a reason. It's not, there's scientists in there right now doing something that we don't have the slightest idea of what they're doing, even in the CDC, even in, matter of fact, go see that movie 007. Go see that new movie, No Time to Die, because it has a lot to do with the vaccine, believe it or not. When you see it, you're going to be like, wow, this is more than a coincidence. So without further ado, we're going to go into our regular segment. I wanted to get everybody on, but we're going to start. It's 10:36, and we have to do all these wonderful things on the show. We're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. If you want to listen to the show, dial 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064, and press 1. It will put you in the queue, and we will get you on the show. Wow. We need some poetry. We've got to cool it down a little bit. And we really didn't get into our second topic. What is post-traumatic? What is COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome? But we're going to hit on it before we, you know, and we'll come back next week, because next week I want to talk about some other things. But we will revisit. We're going to table it now and revisit it later. So without further ado, please take the floor, Linda Goldie, and give us some poetry.
That's, after what I just heard, that's a tall order. But anyway, this is called A Work in Progress. Are you a work in progress? If so, I can relate to much of what you're going through and what you love to hate. With every new dimension that causes us to wait and give it due attention, I can commiserate. Are you a work in progress? Well, you are not alone. And throughout our history, the mystery of unknown can cause us sleepless nights and days when we complain instead of praise. But if we only stop and smile and work and wait a little while, the progress will get better. It will loosen every fetter to constrain and brings you out of all your doubt and pain.
All right, Linda.
Wow, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Linda. We appreciate that so much. That was very beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you. At this time, we are preparing. We're going to get ready to do Words of Wisdom, and then we're going to do health and wellness. So without further ado, Talana Jones, please take the floor and give us Words of Wisdom.
Thank you, Daddy. Good morning, everybody, again. And today's Words of Wisdom are in honor of God Almighty, number one, all of our angels, warriors, people who have always been around, the glue that holds family together. I pray you enjoy this. Support is always necessary. All my help comes from the Lord. You have been so good to me. Lord, you are good. I can't praise you enough. You've been so good to me. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. And I also want to add, yesterday's sermon at church was understanding how to use your weapons. That we have our faith is our strongest weapon. And I included this because I believe that each of us has our own weapon, and we share very profound, very open, and open-hearted thoughts, feelings, and all the memories that I have from family are always oriented. And so, again, this reads, use my weapons wisely. God bless me to be a warrior for justice, healing, and peace. Trouble does not last always. Pray, climb, maintain, and exceed. Experience God's power and learn how to use your weapons. Faith.
Amen.
Is
amen.
Your
praise God. Amen.
Weapon. One more thing that I'm gonna say. I wanna say hone in and hold on to your weapons and remember that Jesus is our Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember that we have come this far by faith and we cannot turn around now. Thank you so much and God bless you.
Amen,
Jones.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well done, Delana. Excellent job.
Amen.
Thank you very much. And without further ado, in the essence of time, because it's now 10:40 a.m. and we want to make sure we get everything in, sometimes we go over. Vera Jones, please take the floor and give us health and wellness, health and wellness.
Okay, Eddie. Thank you, everyone, for listening in this week, again, to Health and Wellness. Now, as we know, this particular topic today is, wow, this is something deep because we are still going through the COVID. And guess what? Now, Star Trek had they had a show back in the 70s, and they said that a virus was going to hit the Earth, and they were trying to kill it. So that is something. And now I will go into my regular segment. Now, I want to say welcome to autumn. Now it's time. The leaves are falling. We're roasting some chestnuts. We're going to decorate our home with different colors. We're going to bake a pie. We're going to go outside and smell nature. Go for a hike. Go to a pumpkin patch. And then let's simmer some cinnamon, some cloves, some peppermint, pine, eucalyptus, lavender, frankincense, and maybe lime. And guess what? My favorite is patchouli and sandalwood. But let's not forget that, hey, it is a season where most people get a regular cold, but now we're at the time that it's a virus. So let's do some homeopathic things. Let's get the neti pot out so we can rinse our nostrils with the sea salt or a nasal spray. And the best one on the market at this time, perhaps you can check it out online, is called Sinu Oreganol, S-I-N-U Oreganol. Okay, and let's not forget about the vitamin C because it's the most important thing that we need to keep our immune system boosted. And the best is called Lipospheric, and that's spelled L-Y-P-O. S-P-H-E-R-I-C, and you can find that online as well. Don't forget to add that turmeric, the ginger for the immune system, the honey bee pollen, some green tea, elderberry, whorehound tea, peppermint. Don't forget the water. And most important, we have to exercise and get rest. So if we can do some of those things to help keep our immune system strong, let's be strong and do some push-ups. Lift yourself up every single day. Get ready, get suited and booted for your immune system. And for the sake of time, I will cover the other segment next week. That is Health and Wellness Today. And remember the of the rainbow.
All right, thank you so much, Eric. Thank you very much.
Dr. Granny Z. Dr. Granny Z.
Wow.
Dr. Granny Z.
Thank you very much, Vera. That was really very wonderful information. It was very wise and good wisdom. You and Tawana were just phenomenal. Without further ado, we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen. It's time to regulate the manual, or maybe we'll get the haunted soul, brother. But without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. It's 10:44 a.m., Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, regulate the manual.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Due to this is the month of Halloween, we will be reading the Haunted Soul Brother. But first to all our listeners and to my co-hosts, we have our own superhero here on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, and his name is Justice Man. I just wanted to get that out there. Justice Man.
Thanks.
He is our superhero.
All right.
Oh, thanks.
A couple of days has passed, and there was no football practice today. Wednesday the 6th, I kept quiet and told no one of what I thought was happening. The one and the only thing that I knew I had to do was to go over to the area during the daylight hours and see what was happening in that area. The school bell rang at the end of the day, so I decided to go to the baseball field before I went home to change and head back to the park. In the meantime, as I was heading toward the park, the only thing that had stood in my mind was, did I really see and heard something, or was my mind playing tricks on me? I reached the park by 3:17 p.m. It was daylight, although the sun began to start setting. The fields were clear as the people gradually trickled from the park. The groundskeeper was painting by the boundary lines for tonight's action. I arrived in the area behind the baseball diamond where the fog had generated from. As I glanced around in the area, nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary. No tracks of any kind, no traces of anything unusual. Everything appeared to be just as normal and calm as any other day in the park. Behind the baseball diamond, just by the other side of the sidewalk, there was a walkway to enter the park. Next to the sidewalk, there began a flower-bedded area filled with plants and some flowers, along with several trees, providing a casual shade in a landscape scenery. I stepped into the flower bed area and into the dirt part of it. Quietly and carefully, I scanned the area. And after a short look around, I believe what had appeared to me was a small, crooked, thin line or a narrow crack in the ground. It looked like it had been shifted by a sudden, abrupt force that had been moved from a violent force from the earth. I looked at the spot thoroughly on one side of the ground, and it seemed to be slightly cracked and a little higher on the other side of the soil. It's probably nothing, but my own imagination played games inside of my head on some wistful thoughts of what I imagined had happened. So I went home. Autumn, especially during October, was the time of the year when the temperature starts to get cold and the evening usually gets foggy. Although a slight haze of cloud or fog had begun to appear every night, this seemed normal and nothing was unusual. After I reached my house and completed my chores, I changed my clothes and ran off to the park's football field. Football practice continued and the regular games would be played on Friday night. There were also basketball games held inside of the park gym. Everyone in the park was carrying on as if nothing was out of the ordinary happening. No one within their wildest dreams would ever imagine about what occurred starting this night in Real Rogers Park. Just behind the main baseball diamond in the flower bed, this week was the beginning of the week in October 1971. On this night in this park, there will be a historical occurrence, something starting maybe in every October from here on. And we'll stop there. But you can only get this reading, the Haunted Soul Brother. You know, when this guy walks at night, man, every night he gets stronger. But let's find out what happened. So get the book, the Haunted Soul Brother, and read it. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you so much.
Get
Brother
haunted.
Clarence, how can they get your book? Brother Clarence.
Brother
Clarence, tell them how they can get your book.
Whoa.
Yes, sir. Tell them how they can get your book, sir.
Well, it's located everywhere. You can go to exlibris.com and hit the little square there and go to the book library and type the Haunted Soul Brother. You can go to amazon.com. You can ask your bookstore desk. You can come hit me directly for an autographed copy of the Haunted Soul Brother. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
What's your number, Brother Clarence, for the ones who want to hit you directly?
310-692-3213. That's 310-692-3213. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to everyone who has heard this. It's an amazing read, especially for this time of year.
Okay, we're going to – thank you so much, Brother Clarence. We appreciate that. Everybody's been so wonderful. We're going to go to Ira Tillman. We're going to go to Ira Tillman and get his closing remarks. Then we're going right into the commentary. Matter of fact, we got it's 10:58 and the show's over at 11. Ira, please take the floor, give us your closing remarks, and please give out how they can get your book one more time. Thank you so much. Ira.
Thank you, Brother Eddie Jones. I want to commend you again on a fabulous show, very informative and very stimulating. My latest book is called The Kid Can Coach. You can get it on AmazonBooks.com, Amazon Books, Ira Tillman, T-I-L-L-M-A-N, first name Ira, I-R-A, and you can get a listing of all 11 of my books that are listed right there on Amazon. I'm true crime in nature, but this last book is a biography of a West Los Angeles kid who went from rags to riches, and he's staying there. His name is Hugh Jackson, and very, very informative and very, very smart offensive mind, and I wrote about the processes of his life story. But I'm true crime in nature, so the Emancipation of Voltaire Williams, true crime, Good and Evil Personified, that's another true crime, and Super Thief, that's another true crime that I've written. I hope you guys are able to get online and get them sent to you. Amazon Prime gets them to you in 2 days. You're going to love the stories. I'm on my way to San Diego to get my next true crime story this week. I'll be out there, Eddie Jones, and I'm going to call you for that lunch.
Okay.
And nice talking to you now. And the next time I come on the show, I'm going to explain to you the true crime story I'm chasing in San Diego. You're going to love it.
Amen,
Ira.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Ira.
Woo-hoo.
Amen. Woo-hoo.
Amen. And now... You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, Eddie Jesse Jones Radio Talk Show. And without further ado, it is time for the commentary. Professor Reins, give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, as we have intimated, this has been an excellent show. This is, I would say, the show of authors, because the fact that we have so many authors around that and even pre-authors that are there, because I'm looking forward to Dr. Granny Bead coming up with her book on holistic medicine, as well as Talana on Words of Wisdom. So, as well as the Linda Goldie and her authorship of poetry. So it's just been a wonderful scholastic way of dealing with it. And then myself, as a professor, I deal with have to deal from the science and or the professorial point of view of sending out articles that get published in journals sort of thing. So it's just been an amazing, amazing day to show what the mind and the brains of all of us here, especially typified by the genius of Ira Tillman. So, Pastor Eddie, thank you so much for this forum. Again, to Clarence, the regulator, I'm getting shivers, so I'm going to pick up my haunted soul brother book and read. To Cousin V, please accept. There's a shout-out, and we pray for you, and we love you. And also to Brenda Jones Reynolds, a wonderful shout-out to a woman of God, and I know she got her well done. As well, again, Dr. Granny V for reminding us of how we have to stay healthy and using all the rainbows as well as the vitamins to keep us going. Talana, again, knocked it out of the ballpark. Melody Aubrey, a nice shout-out. Dr. Aretha, a nice shout-out. And to our wonderful guest, along with my condolences for Earl Banks as well, of his passing, but to our wonderful genius guest, Ira Tillman, as well as Timberlake for showing up. Exactly. So what we have seen here in this celebration is just how we function as this community, and the innocence that we have of being supportive of each other is what Mr. Tilton was mentioning was lost, that we try to recreate here on the show overall. And we did talk about dealing with the DNA, dealing with COVID, and we've come to a wonderful conclusion of always, always being careful, being cautious, but also, as Dr. Granby tells us, know your body and be able to discern what's going on, what you're putting into your body. And that has been a major issue. We didn't talk about the post-traumatic syndrome, but that's going to be a topic for another time. But what we jumped into was a celebration of a life that came from our own neighborhood, being a native and also growing up in the same neighborhood, Hugh Jackson was always a hero of a football coach. And the thing is that Iris Genius allowed a book to be written that anyone can read. And for those that are either into football or not into football, this is just a story, a nice human story that allows you to get into and relate to the struggles that this gentleman has gone through, the successes and also the problems, and also indirectly but directly talking about the NFL system and the background behind the racism that is there. But this is nothing new. If we go to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. And it is one of those areas where we have done it through books. We've done it through poems, as Linda Goldie does. We've done it through song, and we've also done it through preaching, as Pastor Eddie Jones was doing, to give that message of love, of support, and also to remove all forms of doubt. So when we're thinking about this day, let's not think about it as another Monday. Let's think about it as Talana reminded us, that the support of God and falling in love with Jesus is the most wonderful gift that we have to ourselves and we can share to people. And because it means that, I am closing round, that faith is our strongest weapon, which God wants to remind us of, because it will bring us out of our doubt and our pain, as Linda Goldie has mentioned. So see this today as a wonderful autumn celebration of life, and that we will strive to move forward as he has intended us to, because, you know, in the end, the good Lord will never leave us, and we can always trust in him because he will never let us down. And with that, that's my commentary.
All right. That's a wonderful commentary.
Yay.
Ooh-wee. You know
thank
what a commentary. Thank you, Professor Ring. Thank you very much. You know, as we always say on the show, you guys, as we always
love
say on the show,
shout out
me,
to all
we're
Bell
all
family and Reynolds family. Love you all. And the Bell family. Amen.
Yes. And as we always say on the show every Monday, we're getting in the limos now. We're going to close the trunk and lock the doors, and we're going to get in the back of the limo, and we're getting ready to roll off into the sunset. But what a wonderful, phenomenal, great show. Thank you for what a great commentary, great subject matter. It was such a wonderful, fantastic, phenomenal guest. I grew up with Ira Tillman, and his books are really fantastic and amazing. And well, we're going to get ready to go, you
Man.
Guys. But remember what
I
always
say. Did I hear Dr. Aretha in the background?
Dr. Aretha, are you there? No, I don't know. No, she's not there. No,
okay.
No. But that would have been good. But we'll get her on next week. But I want to say this to you. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And remember, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. The skies are the limit. Amen. So without further ado,
Amen.
I always ask you all on the show every week, I always say on the show, what's going on, you know, because there's so much going on. We need to keep up with what's going on, because there's a lot going on. But this week, I share with something I normally ended with what's going on, but I want to do a little bit different because
don't go and talk about my father. Talk about my father, because God is my friend. Jesus is my friend. He loves us whether or not we know it. Know it, yes. He forgives all your sins. Yes, he will. Oh, no. As we give each other love. Oh, yeah. Don't go and talk about my father. Talk about my father. Because God is my friend. Jesus is my friend. And when we call on him for mercy, Father, yeah, he will forgive all our sins. Yes, he will. And all the rest of us I know is we give each other love. Oh, yeah. Love your mother, she born you. Love your father, he taught you. Love your sister, it's your sister. Love your brother, your brother. Don't go and talk about my father. Talk about my father, because God is my friend. Jesus is my friend. And when we call on him for mercy, Father, yeah, he will forgive all our sins. Yes, he will. And all the rest of us I know is we give each other love. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Eddie Justice Radio Talk Show. Love y'all. Have a great Monday. And I'll talk to you guys then. Okay. God bless you. And peace. All right. All right. All right.
Peace.
Have a good week, y'all.
Amen.